They were the Jazz Crusaders when they performed this tune, Ooga Booga Loo, live at the Lighthouse in Hermosa Beach, California, in 1968. 3 years later, they became the Crusaders. They shortened their name, and they still kept the sound, that hard bop R&B soul sound that kept a lot of us boogalooing through a couple of decades there in the 60s and 70s. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it's Free Your Mind Friday. We gather to just express our thoughts and to exchange opinions with each other and to kind of sort things through, to think out loud on many of the issues that we raised this week and others that we might not have raised, but you have an opinion about. This is a good place to begin that kind of a conversation. I like to think of it as peer-to-peer education. We are teaching each other and engaging with each other, and hopefully we are expanding the sphere of influence when we do that and encourage other people to feel comfortable occupying intellectual space. You know, many of us are very shy about it. We hesitate to have an opinion that we can express in public. Well, we just have to get over that because each of us is called upon in many ways, not sometimes not overtly, but we are always available to engage with each other. And that is a form of education. It's a great form of education. So feel comfortable about expressing your opinion. What I'd like you to do, though, is to kind of bring it as much as you can, bring it all together so you have a cogent thesis, if you will. And I'm especially intrigued about welcoming new voices, people who, you know, I know you're listening because you write and tell me so, but I want you to get comfortable with the idea of sharing on-air time and sharing your opinions, because we all are potentially political activists. We all can influence opinion, or at least become accustomed to engaging with different points of view. Nobody has to agree or disagree or anything like that. Your views are your views, but it would be good to see how you defend your view. Not that anybody would attack it, but how do you defend your view? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. I also want to, before we just take our first call here, I want to thank you so much. So many of you dropped me notes wishing that I have come through my recent crisis okay. I thank you for that because it means that you've been keeping me in the best part of your mind. Thank you so much for sending good thoughts my way. I consider it a great factor in getting me back to being on my feet as quickly as possible. As I shared with the audience, I had a little trouble recently. It was extremely painful, but thank goodness it turned out to be kidney stones. But I can tell you, I have never had such pain in my life. And so I was hospitalized and I came back out reasonably in good shape. So here I am. Thanks to your good thoughts, your prayers, and your best wishes for my speedy recovery. And I'm still recovering, but I'm doing a heck of a lot better than I was 2 weeks ago. Okay, let's get down to business. Let's not lose another moment. Harvey from Berkeley, you're on the air. What have you to say, Harvey, that we could engage you in discussion about?
Well, first of all, I just want to say hello, wonderful Therese. We love you very much. We all love you very much. And you keep us strong. So,
thank you.
All right. Well, I'd like to share some thoughts about the raging forest fires in California and other western states. And as we speak, there are 18 forest fires burning across California. And as you know, we give over half of America's gross national product to the military-industrial complex to protect us with around 100 bases worldwide. While here in California, we're being devastated by out-of-control wildfires. And recently, Australia and New Zealand are sending 146 firefighters to help us because the United States National Interagency Fire Center on Wednesday said that it requested the help because its resources are stretched too thin. And I bet you there are a lot of Army, Navy, Air Force men and women who are stationed across the world right now who are from California and other western states who wish that they could return home to help fight these devastating forest fires. And what makes the situation even worse is that the Trump administration is calling for more use of fossil fuels like the burning of coal oil and methane, as well as seeking to strip California of its authority to set its own fuel economy levels for autos that will lower greenhouse gas emissions from cars and trucks, which are causing climate destabilization that's responsible for the severe droughts and out-of-control forest fires here in California, as well as other western states. And now is the time to bring our military service men and women who want to volunteer to fight these terrible fires home, where they're needed to truly protect America, its people, as well as the vulnerable forest-dwelling creatures that are dying as we speak.
Okay.
So thank you. Thank you very much, Utrice.
I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
These forest fires, of course, they are being reported on as being epic, as if, I mean, the intensity and the number of fires, we haven't seen this. Is this true that we haven't seen this level of fires, this number of fires, ever?
Well, they're bigger than ever. They're more devastating than ever. And it's just going to increase as time goes on, as we use more and more fossil fuels, creating more CO2, which is warming up the atmosphere, causing more climate destabilization. We're going to see the weather pattern shift, more droughts in California, and bigger fires. It's just going to get worse and worse. We really, really have to change our ways. And one way is to move to renewable energy, wind power, solar power, thermal energy, thermoelectric, piezoelectric, tribal electricity, the generation of different types of electricity, solid state. We have the technology to switch over, and what we need the political energy, and we need to get away from Trump and his, of course, Trump and his administration are, as I mentioned, a wholly owned subsidiary of the fossil fuel industry. We need to move away from all that in order to save our wonderful country. And, you know, it's a pity that we give so much to the military-industrial complex, and they can't seem to protect us. Not only that, but the Army, Navy, and Air Force essentially run on fossil fuels. And like in the Iraqi war, they were there to protect the fossil fuel industry and to hand it over to the oil companies. So we really have to rethink our priorities here in order to create a better future for us, our children, and future generations.
Well, thank you, Harvey, for your call and for your considered opinion. Thank you so much. From New Jersey, Jeff, you're on the air, 888-874-4888.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, indeedy.
All righty. A few things. Earlier in the week, you talked about Democratic Party not willing to talk with people like Castro, Ocasio, and other progressives, and it ties in with Barack Obama not supporting those people. But we'll talk about the Democratic Party first. It was taken over by conservatives when the Clintons took office, because I noticed that the rhetoric from the Democratic Party was leaning a lot more towards, back in the time after Ronald Reagan, that it was leaning a lot more towards the criminalization of, you know, the drugs, putting people in jail, and just stripping welfare and other benefits, and how, you know, welfare mothers were put on the front page of, you know, this is who's really taking the money out of society. And then we saw this Democratic Party lean a lot more towards that. Now, Hillary Clinton was a McGovern girl, so her politics began with being ultra-conservative, and she just brought that into the party. So when we talk about Democratic Party, we can't talk about them being liberal anymore. They're not liberal.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm going to challenge you on this one thing, and that is the nomenclature that you're using. Is this conservatism, or is this plain old white supremacy?
It's plain white supremacy.
Okay.
Mask is conservative. As a matter of fact, I should make that clear. Just as these people call themselves liberal or not liberal, a lot of conservatives are not conservatives. They're just freaking racist. And back in the day, I would have voted for Jack Kemp, who was a Republican.
But the reason I ask you is we also have to be careful. We have to, you know, rethink the labels we put on things. When we say the person is conservative, there are many aspects of politics or many political attitudes that we have, all of us, I think, in one way or the other, that could be classified as conservative. That's because we have a strange idea of what conservatism is.
What we
call conservative very often is just plain racist.
Yeah, and I should be clear about that. But yes, you're absolutely right. But going on, as we see now, the Democratic Party has moved to the right. The Republican Party moves extremely to the right with the takeover of the Tea Party. So there is really no liberal leg of our political system, with the exception of the Green Party and anybody that's voting independent as a liberal. So that's the one area. So they're not really interested in talking to progressives. They're afraid of talking to progressives. As a matter of fact, that's why we had a super delegate. Derry Wasserman Schultz said, plain and simple, we don't want the party taken over by grassroots organization, which would be the progressive movement or an independent movement or, you know, something a little more outer line of the corporate interest. Now, talking about Barack Obama, and I think that one of the things that we had to really do is go back and look at what happened, because he did a phenomenal job. They did a phenomenal job in the first election, taking on the grassroots, getting out and talking to people. The second time around, they didn't do that. And you actually saw in his presidency Democrats walk away from Barack Obama. Now, go back to when he was president, there were not a lot of people who were up for election that asked him to come and stump for them. Now they're asking because it's on his terms now. He's getting paid for this. He's coming out and giving these people the nomination, but they would not stump for him. I live in a town. Next door is a town that's a Democratic town, predominantly white. A Democratic town, and when the second time he came up for election, actually the first time he came up for election, there were no Obama and Biden signs on any lawns in that town. And that's the way they walk away from it. It's the same thing when we went to do universal health care. Remember, there were 6 to 8 Blue Dog Democrats that walked away from Obama and the plan. It wasn't that he didn't get it done. It was that the Democrats refused to back him. The key votes that he needed walked away. Joe Lieberman, who was independent, Olympia Snowe. And those are the kind of deciding votes. But then there were Democrats who were their husbands or wives were lined up with the insurance companies. So the Obamacare that we got was that watered down version, but that was the compromise, right? So and that's pretty much. And just to talk about what Harvey was talking about, the last thing is that we're just in a spiritual warfare. That, ladies and gentlemen, pray, produce good energy, touch the earth, and try to change it with good vibes, because the earth is reacting to a lot of things, that not just the pollution, but the evil that's going on in the earth, the bombings, and that stuff creates a very negative vibration. And we're talking, and that's on a spiritual side, but please keep your spirits out of the negative, put them more into the positive. The only thing we have left is ourselves, so we need to spread the love amongst ourselves.
Well, thank you. I feel a lot better listening to you today.
Oh, wow. Glad I could help.
Thanks a lot for your considered opinions. Sasha from California, you're on the air.
Well, hi. Hello, Eutrice. Thank you for taking my call. I'm glad that you're back and feeling better. And I hope you continue to get better and don't have to go through
that. With this group sending me such good vibes, I just had to get better. It was foretold.
I wanted to comment partly on, since I live in California, knock on wood, thankfully, right here in metropolitan LA, we don't have haven't been affected too much by directly by any of the fires, but these fires are certainly not limited only to California. But I just wanted to with the first caller, I wanted to correct a couple of things. The gist of everything he said is great and the spirit of it, but kind of fast and loose with the facts a little bit. Like he said, 100 military bases around the world, he was off by a factor of nearly 10. It used to be 800 or 900. He could have said 1,000, and that would have been way more accurate. And the thing is, and I believe, yes, we spend like at least 10 times too much on our military budget, and we have 10 times too many people around the world in our military instead of here doing things like fighting fires, planting forests, etc. And I just I wish that it were as simple as just redirecting some of our military type personnel to doing those kinds of things. But I'm afraid there's a much more nefarious agenda behind these fires, besides just kind of like not having enough people to fight them. I think that there's evidence that points to actually these fires being encouraged, if not directly created. And I want to just draw people's attention, if anyone's interested, to follow up on this. Are you still there? Am I still on?
Yes, I'm listening.
Click, and I just don't know if I got cut off or anything, or if I lost my connection. There's on YouTube, and I'm not connected with this person posting the videos, so I'm not like trying to promote any one particular person, but there is a person, the account poster name is aplaintruth.info. So apparently that's connected to his website, but that's the name of the user. But if you simply would search keywords Cal Fire Lies, then the first couple of videos that will come right up are one with that titled Directed Energy Weapons and Agenda 21 Implementation. And that says it all. This is a one-month-old video that since it was posted. And then a more recent one posted 4 days ago, Plans to Burn Up California and Beyond in Execution Phase, Wake Up All, by the same
person. You know, when these things happen, and, I could see where people would think that there has to be a parallel narrative. And in some cases, they promote it as the real narrative. For you, why did this ring as true to you or as plausible?
Yeah, it's plausible. The interesting thing is I don't really like the way the person prevents his information on these videos that he created, but it's repackaged information from existing newspaper articles like the San Jose Mercury News California, you know, some respected publications, the Press, Democrat, and so this is covering the fires that are not only happening currently, but which happened a year ago, where Santa Rosa, like 5,000 homes were built, burned, I believe, and it just shows pictures. You know, he's using pictures, newspaper articles, and video, and it's appalling. You see this one video, it's just inexplicable, where you see a tree that is burning, hollowed out, burning from the inside. The bark on the tree is not even burning. And the only way something like this happens is when lightning strikes a tree. And this was like right in the middle of these fires Santa Rosa, apparently. You know, I wasn't there, but you see this video. It's not even just a still shot. It's a video of a tree burning from the inside. It's like, where does this happen? Even firefighters apparently couldn't believe some of the things. And then cars that burned down with melted glass, and there's still, some buildings and trees nearby that didn't get burned. How does this happen? You know, we just wonder. It kind of ties into, well, the claim on the second video is, you can see in the thumbnail of the video, it says aluminum oxide. And this is part of what they've been spraying in the chemtrails for years. And apparently what happens is aluminum oxide, it has several properties when it's released in the atmosphere and falling to the ground. It basically kills trees. It desiccates the moisture in the soil, and it becomes a conductor for electromagnetic energy. So it can actually be used like a starter with directed energy beams.
When independent people present these theories, that they don't just put them out there and encourage people to watch them. And of course, there's no way to contest anything that they say. But if in fact they believe they have credible information, to invest heavily in authenticating what they say. Don't just say, well, here's a tree burning and there's no way to explain why it's burning the way it's burning, except that, you know, the inference is that some third hand is working its magic to control the minds of people about what could possibly be, what forces could possibly be at play here. I tend to be extremely skeptical of reports that surface that, I mean, whatever they have to say is fine by me. You know, you have a theory and so forth, fine. But I would feel a lot more comfortable if there's evidence that they have put together credible panels of experts and so forth to discuss things and to focus on findings. What it is that they found, what it is that they concluded. Because this is how conspiracy theories start. And the ultimate goal of conspiracy theories, of course, is mind control. It is not even about whether the facts of what they're presenting are in fact true, but it is to conjure up in our minds. If they succeed in just conjuring up in our minds the likelihood that it might be true, they would have succeeded in taking over our minds. I'm fiercely defensive of my mind. It's the one thing I have that works. So I'm not inclined to accept these conspiratorial theories without seeing a concerted effort, I mean a really credible effort, which means that people have to come together for the purpose not of establishing their dominance of so-called knowledge in a particular field, but coming together in search of truth. And we just don't see that often enough. So
well, I agree. I just want to ask if you ever have a chance to listen to one of the other shows that's regularly webcast on PRN, and that is Global Alert News with Dean Wigington. Have you got to hear any of his recent shows, at least, at all?
I haven't listened recently because I just haven't been able to listen to anything recently. But, yes, I know Global Alert News. They come on right after me, as a matter of fact.
It's ironic, not in a humorous sense, that he was just prior to this last outbreak of fires in the last 2 weeks, there was a planned public meeting in Reading, right? And basically everyone was evacuated from Reading. They had to cancel, not even on his decision. I think it was like a formal order that canceled all the planned activities there where they were expecting. Anyway, Dean Wigington was supposed to, you know, he was part of this meeting, and he was supposed to address people in the local community about the situation impinging on all of the residents in that region. And now, like hundreds of people have been evacuated, or thousands of people, and many homes have been lost. And right, you know, it was evacuated. The orders were given right before this thing, like a couple of days before this whole convention or meeting was supposed to happen, right in that small town. And Geoengineering Watch, they cover all of the evidence and information about these things, for instance, and that's the website maintained by Dean Wigington. Anyway, grateful you've been generous to let me talk, and thank you for your response. I should be quiet now.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in and contributing so meaningfully today. Maat from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, greetings to the beloved family. We are so delighted that you are feeling well. We need you so much, you trees.
Thank you.
First, I want to clarify what I said yesterday, because around your question of the Democrats and the midterms, on the existential level, you know, I can sort of say, well, you know, I'm not really concerned. But in reality and practically, I'm very much rooting for and following Democrats being put in place. I mean, they have a disadvantage because of the voter suppression, the gerrymandering, the ALEC, the Republicans. It said they have to cheat because their policies are so worrisome. And as a conservative, I totally have little credibility for them in terms of rooted in racism. And the ones who are seeing where the country is right now, they have very much in many ways renounced being Republicans / conservatives. So I also want to say to Jeff, I appreciate his comments, but I think he meant to say Hillary was a Goldwater girl, not McGovern, because McGovern, actually, I think he lost.
Oh, yes, she was a Goldwater. I'm glad you picked that up. I didn't.
Yeah, McGovern was considered too liberal. And I guess I want to weigh in on about conspiracy theories. First of all, the prosecutors around the land, whether federal or state, half of their cases, if not more, are based on crimes being conspiracy. So conspiracy, I understand what you're saying, Utrees, but conspiracy is when two or more people, literally it means breathe together, but come together. And I think FDR says it right. That basically, I can't remember his exact words, but many, 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 many things, especially in government, are planned. I think September 11th, 01 is a perfect example that the party line story doesn't conform to the facts. And There's a book that's out there by Elena Friedman that I think some of the callers would appreciate. I think the basic title is Freeman, F-R-E-E-M-A-N, came out a few years ago. And she looks at the geoengineering in terms of the HAARP technology, the scalar technology, the directed, and so she sort of connects the dots. And the geoengineering watch, I was listening Wednesday after your program. They, of course, have some excellent data, the aluminum, the barium. So, you know, we have to be cautious because the CIA actually created the term conspiracy theory, okay? And that was because too many people were looking at the JFK assassination and saying, well, wait a minute now, this, you know, your analysis of this bullet doesn't match the forensic physical facts, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I know there is also a conspiracy going on now, and it is really rather ludicrous. It's called QAnon, and it's coming up in it's coming up in Trump's crazy and very volatile rallies, and a couple of them came to the Hoover Dam with, you know, weapons and was about to do some crazy thing or whatever. But that's a real, real crazy thing. It's part Pizzagate. It's part that they're trying to murder.
You know, something, the ones who pay attention, the people who are so overt and out there with their various theories, you almost automatically have to kind of park them on the side. If they were very serious, we wouldn't know. We wouldn't know who they are.
Yes.
They would be
invisible
to us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when people are out there making a point about their experts, and they're telling us about all these conspiracy theories, every day is a new one, and it's all about creating diversions. It's about getting you unsettled in your own mind. You have
space. Angry.
Sit down quietly and think. You know, nobody has to tell you, about the formation of any theory about anything. You can come to those conclusions, and you can read people who have done exactly that. They have sat down, and they have put things together and come up with a theory. Now, for the way we operate these days, if you say, you know, this is a conspiracy theory, everybody, it's a sexy thing. But people who are serious, on the good side or on the bad, you find that they don't talk much. What they do is they study. They get deep into studying. And they spend a long time putting things together. So that by the time they come up with a theory, it's plausible. Because they have invested that much time in study. The people who are out there talking their butts off, and they, every minute of the day, they have a new theory about this. You just have to set them aside for a minute because they're just wanting to hear themselves for the most part. And they want to know to what degree they are causing people to be afraid or causing people to think their way. And that's why I stress independent thinking. You do your own thinking. Of course, there are references that you would want to reach out and utilize and get to learn, but that is quiet study. It's very unsexy. It's very, very unnewsworthy. You have to sit someplace quiet and study. Most people who are talking about these various conspiracy theories are just reiterating what other people have said. And they have not completely devoted themselves to studying a thing so that they could become expert at it. Most of the people I know, most historians I know, for example. They're not talking about history because it is sexy. They're in libraries all the time. They are buried in books all the time. They're hunting down facts. The late Dr. Ivan Van Sertima, who I knew personally, he wasn't sexy in that sense. He didn't have time to be sexy. He was running around doing serious research. And you could hardly find him. Only people who knew him knew where he was likely to be found, or Gerald Horn. You know, so this is one of the ways in which we develop the antidote to conspiracy theories, and that is our personal investment in independent study. And, you know, forget all the hype and all the YouTube, episodes that are developed around any particular subject. The idea is that most of what we need to know, we absolutely must invest personally in studying.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let the church say amen. Thank you for calling in, Mahat.
Thank you.
Is it Hugh from California? Hugh, is that you?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, good. Hey, you have the greatest bumper music on, well, in the whole universe, probably.
Thank you.
So anyway, I just wanted to follow up on what you were just saying, and the gentleman before Mott. Just one of the things that he said, that if he would have done any research at all, rather than just believing what he's told, that trees can only catch fire inside if they're struck by lightning. Now, trees have lots and lots of oil inside them, like pine trees. You've heard of pine oil. Eucalyptus trees, eucalyptus oil, and they're really heavy with oil. And if they get hot enough on the inside from a fire on the outside, they explode like bombs and spread fire massively. We experienced that in Oakland, the Oakland Hills, in 1991, where eucalyptus trees, which are thick throughout California, were blowing up and spreading fires, destroying homes. It wasn't directed energy weapons, and it wasn't lightning. It was heat. And, of course, he is, you know, the chemtrails with the different various metals that are probably in them. Some researchers say that they've found that to be true. I have never seen their actual results. And Dane Wigington, you know, he's pushing the anti-government, you know, conspiracy against everybody type thing. But he never brings in oil as being a problem. In fact, when confronted about oil, he starts to go into denial. So I imagine he's, you know, not on the up and up. But anyway, I just wanted to make the point about just a single thing of the trees. There is propaganda. Trees will explode when they get hot. And it doesn't need lightning. It doesn't need directed energy weapons. It needs heat. And a fire causes heat. And so, you know, that's all I really want to say.
Okay. Well, thank you. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, so, okay, thank you, Eutrace. Thanks for your show.
Thank you so much for contributing today. Henry from Chicago. The great city of Chicago.
Yeah, make Chicago great again.
Why not?
How are you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Want to wish everybody in the PRN family, Lead Stories listeners, a great weekend, and including yourself. And thank you, Eutrace, for surviving your episode. We're always worried about your health.
Oh, man, I tell you, I would have easily agreed to give birth to 10 children at once. I would have said, okay, I'll take that.
All right. I wanted to ask you about this since you are our resident media analyst expert here.
Wow.
you know, and this topic has come up in today's show in regards to the California wildfires. And I've been, you know, I've been watching on, you know, on the news and reading about it. But do you kind of notice that, you know, and as bad as those wildfires are, because they claim a lot of, you know, victims, and, you know, a lot of people's homes get lost, and, you know, it's something that you never want anybody to, you know, experience. But have you noticed the victims of those wildfires are treated differently in the media than, say, like the Hurricane Katrina victims or the earthquake victims in Puerto Rico? I mean, the hurricane victims in Puerto Rico. I mean, I'm just noticing, like, you know, how they weren't treated with the same kind of vile that, you know, the Katrina and Puerto Rican victims and all the people in the Caribbean who were, you know, hit by hurricanes. And is it just me, or is that something that you've noticed as well? I mean,
well, keep going, because you're going somewhere with this.
Yeah. So when you talk about, like, say, for instance, the Hurricane Katrina victims, and it's sort of like, you know, they weren't too focused on them losing their homes. They were more focused on, oh, they're looting, they're doing this, they're doing that. And then here's the thing that really gets me, because most of the, like, for instance, the victims of the California fires, they were allowed to go back to their place of residence. Now, mind you, that, you know, their residence were burned to the ground, but they were allowed to come back and clean up and probably rebuild. The Hurricane Katrina victims weren't allowed back after the hurricane. So that's one thing that basically stood out in my mind. So you tell me, Utrecht. I mean, am I seeing something?
Could it be that we had different on the ground conditions prevailing in Katrina? I mean, Katrina was dangerous for all kinds of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You had a flood that did not abate quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It, water was around for a long, long time. You had dead bodies. You had the real possibility of an epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
You had people who had no homes at all. They were homeless, and the government response, FEMA, was just abysmal. They decided that the effort should have been placed elsewhere, in perhaps responding to other communities in a different way. We talked about it here in the situation in terms of how the police themselves conducted themselves, where we had, you know, cops going crazy, killing people.
Yes.
One cop, you know, killed a man and then burned his body in the back seat of a car. So we had insanity prevailing in that situation. Mm-hmm. In California, first of all, it was assumed that the wildfires did not affect everybody. And certainly if they did affect a wide swath, the people who get the attention are the people who are considered more important to the city, the more important taxpayers, the affluent, the people in communities that historically get attention, the people who live in communities that historically don't get attention continue not to get attention, which is why we talk about communities having to develop for themselves their own methods of survival. You would notice that in none of these communities that are poor did we have an organic response to a disaster. They're not prepared for disaster. so that when everybody's looking to the government or some governmental agency to do the responding, you are also giving up the authority that you should be exercising over your own community. You can't get angry all the time about that. This is something that people just have to face. In as many ways as possible, communities have to learn that their survival dictates that they get some of the basics done. Are you even a community?
That's the question.
Just a bunch of people sharing the same acreage?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when well-to-do communities are affected, you see aspects and you see expressions of their understanding of what they are entitled to, and they get exactly what they believe they are entitled to in terms of, A, their tax dollars are paying for these services, therefore they are entitled to these services. We don't have this kind of consciousness in most poor and working poor communities. It's just that, well, we live here.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And you know, that's so interesting because I think people, you know, use that term too loosely in regards to community, you know, especially mm-hmm. when it comes to the Black community, because, you know, just because there's a group of Black people living in an area doesn't make them a community, because if we were a nope. real community, we wouldn't have police shooting us down. We wouldn't have all, you know, the stuff that's happening in our community to let happen. So community is a term to me that's been too loosely, you know, used by a lot of people.
I am positive that in any Black community, any Latino community, you can find people who have served in the military or served in some capacity in a civic position. Life change. They may have been with an ambulance corps, or they have first aid training and whatnot. To what extent does a community have the capacity to respond to its own, disasters? Or are we just going to sit there and watch things burn? Every community, I've said it before, every community, if it deems itself to be a community, should have some semblance of community organized, a community organization, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
You ought to know whether you're living next to a former firefighter, and it's no big deal to organize from time to time, every month or every 3 months, fire awareness or something like that, disaster awareness. There's nothing wrong with that. The whole community may not participate, but we have resources available, and people have to look to activating them, because in the end, if disaster strikes, we still would need people with knowledge to help us respond to a disaster. We have these people in our communities. I know in some communities, you know, retired firefighter, everybody knows who is retired, and they go and volunteer at the fire station, you know, and they're connected with some church program or the other. But we don't see the need to organize this way.
Mm-hmm.
It's organization. We can't get away from that fact.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. The whole point of this program, especially Free Your Mind Friday, but all of Lead Stories programs, is to encourage us to talk to each other. Yes, we have organizations that are specialists in generating information and knowledge and all of that, and that's great. But in the end, the biggest fight we have in our hands is developing for ourselves an understanding of how the society works and how we function within it. And that is what makes us effective. We can hold our own against anybody, you know, at any time, a conversation about anything. We need not shirk. We need not shrink away. We should feel perfectly at home in any environment, taking on any subject. And that's what I'm hoping that we can do. And I'm pleased, I would say, that we are moving in that direction. And for the most part, I get from callers that there's an earnestness about wanting to know more. And that is exciting. That is a revolution right there. And I think we're winning. Have yourselves a great weekend. You know, surround yourself with yourselves with people who are like-minded in that sense, looking for answers and wanting to create change. Next alternative is with Dr. Jack Rasmus, and we'll see each other on Monday. Thank you so much for contributing today.